Well, good late afternoon here. I guess you can only stay up all through the night at my age with some some consequences to pay. Anyway, we have finished program 7 for telepathy and the etheric vehicle, video commentary. And we're beginning on page 19, and it will be program number 8. Now, as a little bit of a segue, there's this extensive part of a paragraph that talks about the importance of the heart center. And the way that the heart center particularly produces those lines of energy which can link and bind together. And D.K. tells us he assigned meditations with this in mind to stimulate the heart center into action. Linking the heart center, he says, between the shoulder blades to the head center through the medium of the higher correspondence to the heart center found within the head center, within that 12-fold lotus at the top of the head. And by the head center, he means the 1,000-petaled lotus. And then he says, this heart center, when adequately radiatory and magnetic, relates disciples to each other and to all the world. It will also produce that telepathic interplay, which is so much to be desired, so and which is so constructively useful to the spiritual hierarchy, provided it is established within a group of pledged disciples, dedicated to the service of humanity. They can then be trusted. It is possible, of course, to create groups such as Hitler did, which are not at all dedicated to the service of humanity, but to the service of one nationalistic entity and the service of those who are gathered without love and without the heart under the influence of Shambhala. Then they cannot be trusted. So this is, we have here some very important sections of paragraphs, and a strong statement regarding how the functioning heart center within a selfless group does properly create the conditions under which telepathy can in fact flourish. To relating the disciples to each other and to all the world, and it will produce that telepathic interplay which we are seeking to cultivate now, and which we are seeking to somewhat understand and apply. He has given us a simplified version of the telepathic process, the both in Atlantis and Aryan times. The communicator, the communicant, and that which is the means of communication, which is some form we're learning of etheric connectivity. And now he begins to go more deeply into it, into the three modes. He has also shown us what telepathy was like in Atlantean times, comparing it to what it is and can be like in Aryan times. He's also warning us about the boomerang effect, or the powerful insulative effect, which prevents the higher communicator from reaching the object of the intended telepathy, or should I call it maybe the subject. So the interplay between communicator and communicant and the medium of communication has been dealt with, and he basically is giving us the simplest version of this kind of interplay. It looks simple, but maybe it's not quite so simple as it looks. Still, he has given us the simplest version. Instinctual telepathy and mental telepathy. Not very effective in Atlantean times, because the people could not really think as we understand thinking. And finally, we're going to begin looking at this intuitional telepathy, which is the kind of telepathy we are seeking to cultivate. So that will begin program 8 on this, at least here in Finland, on the 22nd of October 2021. Working from page 19 now, you know, there's almost 200 pages in this book. So it's going to be a very a very serious study with a lot of detail, and hopefully we can extract from it something of real value in the understanding of telepathy, and also in the institutionalizing of telepathic interplay. In other words, we want to make it work for us, and thus, because of that, aid the divine plan. So here is intuitional telepathy, and it's said to be a development upon the path of discipleship, not just upon the path of aspiration or within the consciousness of someone who is neither aspiring nor a disciple. So, and it's said to be here one of the fruits of true meditation. And may I stop to question whether we know that we are engaged in true meditation. I'm repeating myself to say that meditation has been considered unsuccessful in the past because the meditator could not meditate within the causal body, within the egoic lotus, and I suppose be telepathically en rapport with the influencing master and the influencing angel of the presence. Now, we're getting from DK here a little bit about areas that are involved in this intuitional telepathy. Now, it is assumed somewhat that we are no longer strictly the victim or vulnerable to instinctual telepathy, and that some degree of thoughtful mental telepathy is in progress in our approach. Now he takes it one step further. Just want to make sure that you are receiving what I'm intending to send you. I always have to double check. The area involved is the head and throat and the three centers, which can be rendered active in the process, are the head center, which is receptive to impression from higher sources, and the ajna center, a directing center, which at least on the normal etheric plane and on the normal astral plane will be found focused, I think, in one of the subdivisions of the first or atomic plane of each of those planes. So the rendered active will be when etheric telepathy, or rather intuitional telepathy, is functioning, the head center and the ajna center, and DK says of it, which is the ajna center, which is the recipient of the idealistic intuitional impressions. This ajna center can then broadcast that which is received and recognized through the throat center as the creative formulator of thought and the factor which embodies the sensed intuitive idea. Somehow this process is occurring in relation to the spiritual triad particularly, and we do remember that the ajna center is not the typical center characterizing humanity, but only advanced humanity and the new group of world servers are associated with this ajna center. They constitute, in a peculiar way, the ajna center of Sanat Kumara. So we are definitely here dealing with higher forms of impression and of broadcast. Head and throat, the areas are head and throat, and three centers are involved. The head center, and I suppose particularly the very center of the head center, which is like the zodiac, a 12-petaled lotus, and it is receptive to higher impression, and the ajna center, which is the recipient of idealistic intuitional impression. When we look at the rulerships of the ajna center, for the apparatus on the normal astral plane, we're going to find Neptune will be very important. As a matter of fact, coming through that Ajna center are a number of rays and the planets that carry them. But Neptune will be considered an important ruler, and it is idealistic and intuitional both. So maybe I can idealistic and intuitional. It is both. And I'm just going to kind of put that as an aside, something that we can think about. DK says, then, this Ajna Center consisting, I would say, of the more advanced humanity, that is, members of the new group of world servers, it can, as the servers tend to do, broadcast what is received and recognized using the throat center as the creator formula, creative formulator of thought. So we also have a connection here with the spiritual triad. And although we cannot, in our present condition, nor can even a master, reach the threefold permanent atom of the Buddhic plane, there is a connection between that Buddhic activity and the monastic permanent atom, which, if we build the Antikarana properly, we can reach. So the second aspect and third aspect are combined. Okay. I think really learning something about the apparatus that we have to work with is very important in developing our telepathic capabilities, we might say. Now we really have to ponder on what the Tibetan has just said. There is a head center, a central head center on our normal astral plane. There is also a head center on our normal etheric plane, and they have correspondences with what is happening within the spiritual triad. The important thing is to actually, if I can say, using the word as Master Moria uses it, actually feel into the process. In his Agni Yoga books, he connects feeling not only with the solar plexus center and the astral plane, he connects it with the heart. So ideas come to us via the antikarana that we are building, and still within the spiritual triad, we formulate these ideas coming from the first level of the cosmic ethers, i.e. the Buddha plane. We formulate the ideas into thought. Now I just have to say, close and careful study is here required, so we can actually participate in this process and not just have a lot of words which may be academically correct, but which don't give us the experience which the words represent, or, if we want to coin a word, the imperience which these subjective happenings can confer upon us. So I suppose every day we should question our telepathic receptivity and see if we have received anything, and from where we might have received it. We know that Master DK is working telepathically with those who are gathered around him as students. He did that 90, 80 years ago, and that's how he made his impression upon the souls of those who were attracted by the note that he sounded through Alice Bailey. I think at this time something similar is going on and will be, I think, part of the third dispensation, which is forthcoming in less, we imagine, in less than 4 years from this time in 2021. Okay, so Master DK goes on. It will be apparent to you, therefore, hopefully it will be, it will be apparent to you, therefore, how necessary it is to have a better recognition of the activity of certain centers as they are detailed in Hindu philosophy. We have a book on the how the chakras are conceived in Hindu philosophy. Now, wouldn't you know it, I've forgotten the name of the book, but where we are looking at the Ajna series of centers, we see an illustration from that ascending series of chakras. I may have, I don't know, hopefully not, been dealing with a very low volume. I'm back to the normal volume, and we will see, well, when you're, you know, you're playing any of these video commentaries, just raise the volume of your computer if you find it to be too faint. And that's what I meant by having to keep your eye, or me having to keep my eye open all the time to make sure I'm actually sending to you what I intend and in the way I intend it. So we have to also remember that the Buddha came from India, and what he transmitted to Tibet began in India. And so the roots of what we are studying here are in Indian, or he says here, Hindu philosophy. And he says, until there is some real understanding of the part the vital body plays as the broadcaster and as the, and this is important, and as the recipient of feelings, thoughts, and ideas, there will be little progress made in the right understanding of modes of communication. So, you know, this book is called Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle. It's a very straightforward title, and actually I want to that's too too bright. Maybe I can do something here. Yeah. The sciences involved are ancient, and there have always been knowers. The first and most famous Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, well, he was not the first of those who really understood. So basically, I may say, we are coming into a deeper understanding of the function of the various types of ethers, of the normal etheric body and other etheric, higher and etheric modes of transmission. We can see that the heart center and the ethers are closely related, because the heart center unifies, and the ethers are the medium of unification between the communicator and the communicant. And do we really get the sense, without exaggeration, without egotism or undue personality reference, that we are receiving impression from a higher source? Okay, we have to pause, you know, for little moments of reflection to see whether this whole process is living in us, or whether we're just kind of studying it academically, which is okay, but it doesn't take us as far as we have to go. Now, going on here, and hopefully as we go on, we're in the right place. There is, he says, an interesting parallel between the three modes of telepathic work and their three techniques of accomplishment and the three major ways of communicating on Earth. Now, of course, this was written before the days of instantaneous computer communication, but given the period in which it was written, he likens the three modes of telepathy in the following manner. Instinctual telepathy. Train travel. Stations everywhere. Telegraph. Okay. And of course we did have that the telegraphic method with its Morse code. We didn't have such living communications as now exist. Mental telepathy, ocean travel, ports on the periphery of all lands, and therefore the telephone, which by communicating the actual sound of the voice goes one step further than the telegraph. And now what we're studying at the moment, intuitional telepathy, air travel, a landing place, and the radio, which remember that he did say the teaching would go forth over the radio, but we have to expand our notion of what a radio really means. Maybe he would include right now our advanced communications computer technology under the title radio. So I'm going to kind of distinguish these. Sorry for that. So the use of analogy is very helpful when we try to understand the degree of elevation of the different means of communication. And there is a rising, apparently, in the communicability from telegraph through telephone to radio. And now something completely new and very advanced has come in, and the teaching is transmitted not just over the radio, but over something far more living. And here it is, I don't know, quite a few years later than this was originally given. So, DK goes on. That which is going on in connection with the human consciousness is ever externalized or finds its analogy upon the physical plane. And so it is in connection with developed sensitivity to impression. So these are subjective factors, or at least subtle, and they work out in developments upon the physical plane. He's giving us many ways to look and to understand. And that is the tremendous ability of that part of the third ray with which he is endowed. It must be obvious that because of his ability to look from many sides and to apply many techniques and to formulate ideas in high ideas in such a way that we can grasp them, that the mentality of his work is quite advanced and utilizes, at least I think so, the third aspect . Okay, now I guess there's more. There is still another way, he says, in which we can look at the entire subject in response, subjective response, between broadcasting areas of consciousness and receiving areas of consciousness. We might list the divisions of this process. Much must remain theoretical, and little can as yet be worked out in progress. That's the thing about the masters. They have this excellent and accurate sense of timing regarding the manifestation of that which we can study theoretically. However, let me list the various forms of telepathic work for your instruction. Okay. It looks like what we're studying here is the subject of response between that which broadcasts and that which receives. And if we really want to get simple about it, as DK, I think, tried to do above, giving us simply some fundamentals, it's all about who is broadcasting and who is receiving plus the medium of the broadcast. The medium by which impression may travel, and that medium is the ethers, or the dynamic of ethericity in various strata. We're not always limited to the lowest form of ordinary ether. I think, well, when I look at our present universe, I would say that this ethericity, this medium of communication, exists, I'll say, from the bottom to the top of the universe, realizing, of course, the inadequacy of such a formulation. And, okay, he's realistic, and much will have to be worked out in practice. Now we begin to enter a large section. I cannot at this time, since a program is coming up on the sacred pentagram still for Libra, even though we are approaching Scorpio, I cannot carry this too far. Certainly, I cannot deal with all the various forms of telepathic work that will have to be spread over several programs. I think how close I came to not doing this particular book. I think if I had to choose the seed thought group which I would be involved with, it probably wouldn't be this one, but it is somehow very important for all of us to understand the principles lying behind spiritual telepathy. Keith Bailey made some important formulations based on his knowledge, and those formulations had to do with which particular people, maybe in many respects, people like ourselves, which particular people were involved in which groups, even if the groups had not yet received their own complete personnel. Well, this may be a little more difficult to find. Maybe not. Now, I know that he doesn't want this spread all over, because it is for serious students. Let me see if I can take a quick look here. We did have Mr. Adams. He was a third-rate soul. We see how the different keynotes are offered. The one in italics being the main area of concentration. Of course, here we do have a mistake, and this mistake has been corrected. This man was an Englishman, and he was not born in Kansas. That has to do with IBS. So somehow there's been a confusion there. Now, the initiate disciple, Roberto Acciaiuoli, was in this first group, and he has been so instrumental in helping us to understand the practical application of what the Tibetan has written. Alice Bailey was there too. DRS, and detachment was her main key. The rays are given. Foster Bailey was there. Adams was a third-rate soul, and Roberto Acciaiuoli and Alice Bailey were second-rate souls. So we see that these participants in the various groups are not necessarily homogeneous with respect to the rays. Foster Bailey, a first-rate soul, and a man who would take up for Master Moria the same kind of function that Alice Bailey took up for Master Kutumi by working with Master DK. And here is Alice Bailey's secretary, a second-rate soul who left the work and then came back to it. And we see interesting which keynotes are important for these people, even though they are all gathered in the telepathic group. Here's another first-rate soul, a certain Betty Harris. I'm not sure immediately. Well, it looks like she is an Aquarius, and silence was most necessary for her. And then another advanced disciple, a certain RSU, Regina Keller, who was a Capricorn born in Hungary. And we do see something interesting here, that restraint was of great importance to her, and she did allow certain impulses which were deleterious to the work to take her over at times. The majority here, majority are second ray souls. And I hadn't really realized it, but Alice Ortiz, born in Aries, a second ray soul with so much sixth ray, and which a person who has been explored with utter meticulousness by Elena Dramcini in our overall group, a fine astrologer, esoteric astrologer. She was here too. I didn't expect that, and had not examined closely enough. She was not exactly what you would call an advanced disciple, but from the perspective of compassion and understanding, she was adequately covered. Her main keynote was courage. And as I say, just study Elena's, I don't know, did she do 50 or something different programs on CDP or Alice Ortiz? And finally, another first race soul, which I guess makes three, Foster Bailey, Betty Harris, and this man, John Tassin, who was a strong Mason, and I guess and think that he knew Foster Bailey very well. But he had to be dismissed eventually, because old astral habits from former cloister days as a monk were taking him over and leading to a form of illusion. Well, anyway, those were the nine gathered. Three first ray souls, one third ray soul, and five second ray souls gathered to receive the instructions on telepathic spiritual telepathy, let us say. We're reading their instructions right now. And thus it is for the first four groups, the full complement of nine, an important number, were gathered. And Keith also let us know which of the various people went on beyond the groups of nine into the new seed group of 24, when it was not possible due to the war to continue the groups of nine. So this is all highly organized, and we owe Keith Bailey a debt of gratitude for having gone over these discipleship lists and given us a formulation of their gatherings, their character, their assignments. And don't you just wonder if you, like those earlier disciples, were tended to by Master DK, what would be your three keynotes? And from his perspective, and what would be the major keynote? And where would he assign you if the groups of nine were completed? Now, in our University of the Seven Rays classes, we have undergone such exercises where we try to imagine where we would fit and why we would fit. And we see, interestingly here, that even though Alice Bailey's most advanced disciples tended to be gathered in the telepathic group, that not all were. The Tibetan, I think, was an expert in balancing qualities. Interesting, though, that one third ray soul was found here. There were not too many third ray souls in these groups. One other third ray soul was present, LTSK, and he was a member of the Glamour group, the Trained Observers, and he really needed what that group might be able to offer, because maybe he was the most glamored of the various disciples and had not yet managed to stand before the Christ and to take even the first initiation, although he was a great enthusiast regarding the work and did so much financially to propagate it. Well, as I say, it would be interesting to select the correct group that Master DK, from his perspective, would select for us. That would be interesting. Well, a little bit of a sidetrack there. And maybe, I mean, this program has been about an hour long. And DK is now going into detail of the various forms of telepathic work. See, I almost did it again. I almost left that list of disciples up so you would see it, but I didn't intend to. I intended to go back and look at DK's estimation in ever-growing detail of the types of telepathic work, from solar plexus to solar plexus, from mind to mind, from heart to heart. From soul to soul. Now there are still higher forms, but at least for humanity, this soul to soul telepathy is presently the highest form. So that's soul to soul. Between soul and mind, which is a necessary step along the way, eventually leading to soul, mind, brain. You see why I don't want to tackle this right now. And here is such work between soul, mind, and this time the brain is included. And then as we elevate the kind of telepathic work possible, we have between a master and the disciple in the world, and further between a master and his group. And no doubt DK was attempting this with his gathered group, consisting of a number of seed group parts. So that's already number 8. And then telepathic work between subjective and objective groups, because inner and more subjective and more advanced groups can reach more outwardly objective groups, maybe even upon the physical plane, and thus affecting the divine plan, at least in a certain measure. So that's 9 already. And boy, this is a long one. And is this the final? Looks like it. Telepathic work between the hierarchy of masters, that is, the entire hierarchy of masters, and as a group, or a part of the hierarchy, and groups of disciples and maybe this would involve the new group of world servers. So we're going to be dealing in a little bit of detail here with 10 modes of telepathy before we get into section number 4 here about the 3 types of energy involved. So I think the wisest thing to do just before we begin in the middle of page 20 with all these modes of telepathic work is to go back and copy this. So we began. Well, I'll just say that this is the end of program 7, and page 16 to 19. And, you know, not many pages, but we're dealing overall with 3 types of telepathy, of communication: instinctual, mental, and intuitional. I think I made a mistake there. I think I made a mistake. So, it was still 16. However, okay, I took a little break there to do a little housekeeping. We have ended program 8 of Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle video commentary. This was done on the 22nd of October. We started on page 19 and really only did one page, coming up if we can, even today, will be program 9, which will start at page 20, reviewing, detailing 10 forms of telepathic work. I think it's important for us to keep in mind the principal types, instinctual, mental, and intuitional, and then to go into the subdivisions. So we'll see if after a 2 years broadcast I have time to work with this. I would like to. And I'll be taking hours one day to send you the audio, the cloud recordings and audio transcripts for quite a number of these programs. And you'll see the text on the side, even though it will not be perfect, and there will be a picture of myself as the speaker, and it will be larger than the one that you are receiving right now from what BL and Joe and Harold are preparing for you, which of course is, those preparations are very good, but some of you like to have the text and an enlarged kind of moving photograph. So we'll call it a day, or at least we'll call it an hour or two, with the hope that it is possible to resume with program 9. We'll see whether it is. There will be many programs in this telepathy book because the book is, as I said, about 200 pages long, and we have only done a ninth or a tenth of it. So Tuya and I wish you love and many blessings, and so does the whole communications team of BL and Joe and Harold and Michael, Stacy, and others who are helping in other ways, and especially at the time of the conferences. So I will resume as soon as may be possible. We'll see you soon.